So this message is part two of Ephesians, of what I was, what we've been going through, the book of Ephesians, last, kind of the fall from last week. So, what grows the church? There's a lot written today on church growth. There's a lot of ways church growth is discussed. This morning we're going to look at a passage that really gives the key on church growth as defined by God. What grows the church? I think the first and most important aspect of that answer is the gospel. So it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. So without the gospel, you don't know God. Without belief in Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose again from the dead to save us from our sins. If you do not believe the gospel, then you're not of Christ. So the gospel is certainly the central focus. We lead with the gospel. We center on the gospel. Because without the gospel, there is no knowledge of God. There's no relationship with God. You must be born again to enter in the kingdom. The church is a group of saved, baptized believers. And so this gospel is very important. So we could call that sound doctrine. We could call that the gospel. As Paul has been instructing us in the first three chapters of Ephesians, every spiritual gift, every spiritual blessing is given in the heavenly places to those who are in Christ. And then he goes and he spends three chapters and he talks about all the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ, being identified in Christ. That is, what defines us? Christ defines us. How does he define us? He defines us by his grace. How do we receive that grace? By faith. For by grace you've been saved, through faith. That not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So that's a humbling thing. It's nothing we boast in. It's nothing that we do. It's a gift given, received by grace. And that gift given, received by grace through the means of faith, produces good works. For you've been saved unto good works, which God has prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. Paul also has some important aspects in here that if you do not have these two aspects, you will not have a growing church. So you can have sound doctrine, you can have the gospel being proclaimed. But if you are not praying, then that sound doctrine will do you no good. And Scripture has many examples of those who had sound doctrine, but they left their first love. They had sound doctrine, but they did not have faith to persevere in that doctrine, in those truths, having not been mixed with faith, did them no good. So we must continue in that faith, and Paul really presses the importance of prayer, the importance of praying. So he not only presents this amazing grace, this mystery, as he calls it, that was hidden in ages past, this mystery in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we can be saved, and that Jews and Gentiles both can be saved, being reconciled together in one body. But he prays in Ephesians 1:17 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So after he presents this glorious gospel of grace, he's encouraging prayer. And he's praying for the church. And his example is, you need to be praying that the eyes of your hearts will be opened so that you could understand the implications, the wisdom, have insight into the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we see this in after Ephesians 1 and verse 17. Last night, we talked about the importance of prayer, that God would grant that we would know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. So we see prayer, faithful prayer, is a key aspect in participating in the growth that God has for his church through sound doctrine, through the gospel of Jesus Christ. This morning we're going to look at that second aspect that is an essential practice that flows from the gospel that is necessary for the church to embrace if the church is going to grow. And that is gifts. The gifts. The gifts that Christ gives His church. Pick it up in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Then, as we talked about last week, as we exegeted the psalm that is presenting there, the victory that Christ gives, and we went into some detail last week, the application being these gifts that are given for a purpose. And Paul has a lot to say about the purpose. The gifts are listed in verse 11, Christian leadership. The purpose is for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the purpose of Christian leadership, these gifts, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, the purpose of these gifts is to equip people, to teach people, to be like Jesus. So what is the purpose of the church? To glorify God, to learn to be like His Son, Jesus Christ. That we would learn of Christ, that we would be in Christ, and that we would walk through Christ everything that God has called us to do and has called us to be. So there's a purpose that streamlines everything and really makes the church function. And it makes the church function in light of problems. Because there's some problems that keep the church from growing to be like Jesus Christ. And it's a big problem. And the problem is found in verse 14. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So before he presents the answer, he presents the problem. And he gives a word picture for this problem, and the word picture is communicated through water and through wind. So the problem in the church is that we're like water, like on the ocean, crashing to and fro. So water is not a picture of stability, is it? Water is a picture of chaos and instability. And that's the problem that the church faces. Water, instability, up and down and all around. And then he moves from the water, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, like winds crashing, or like every wind, the wind blowing this way and that way. Blowing this way, blowing that way. There's no rhyme nor reason to the wind. It just seems to be, again, chaotic, sporadic, it kind of all over the place. And Paul takes that analogy of water and wind and he attaches it to the meaning. And the meaning he's trying to communicate here is that as children, that is, those who are not spiritually mature, are like those in the water, up and down all over the place, or those in the wind driven all over the place. And he's communicating the truth. Look in the passage there. Doctrine that is not founded in the truth. Doctrine is simply teaching. Every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunningness of deceitful plotting. So the church's answer is sound doctrine, the gospel of Jesus Christ, accessed by faith, growing through prayer. The second one, which is we're going to get to in a minute, in the next verse. The problem is false doctrine. The problem is men who are teaching doctrine that is close, but not accurate. It's near, but it's oh so far. It can be done in the name of Jesus, but not really faithful to what Jesus said. And so this is, and look at the words Paul uses here. in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So here's some truth, but it's going to be left out of context. It's not going to be the whole counsel of God. It's going to be a piece and not the part of it. It's going to miss the spirit. Right? Cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And that false doctrine wreaks havoc in the churches, in the church, because everybody's kind of up and down, not sure where they fit in, where they're going. And that creates a great instability. And so, because of the victory of Jesus Christ in the gospel, He rose again from the dead, He gives gifts to His church to fix this problem. And the gifts He gives to His church, they're not monetary, they're people. Christian leadership. And what does that Christian leadership do to fix this problem? And that is verse 15. But the contrast here. By contrast, this is what the answer is. Speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, Christ. That, brothers and sisters, is the second aspect that is vital as a process for the church to grow. The truth must be spoken in love. Speaking the truth in love. 100% truth, 100% love. Love softens the truth, and truth defines the love. If you take love away from truth, you got big problems. Big problems. You cannot grow with truth without love. If you have truth without love, what happens is you begin to judge one another without love. And that does not create growth. On the other hand, if you have love without truth, you're not saying anything. You may be offending God. You're certainly not going to be helping people to grow by not sharing with them the truth of sound doctrine. Notice it says speaking, doesn't it? This is speaking. So it's speaking the truth. What is truth? Well, sound doctrine. Truth is God's Word. Truth is reality as defined by God. Truth is propositions, words, that accurately reflect the nature of reality. Truth is what is. Where do we find truth? Jesus said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." The Bible is the absolute standard communication, revelation of truth. So speaking the truth in love is taking the truth of God's Word, sound doctrine, and taking that truth and contextualizing it, personalizing it in love. What is love? Love is doing good to another. Love is patient. So when you're speaking the truth, it must be spoken in patience. For the servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, but he must be patient, instructing with gentleness, that God perhaps may grant them repentance, Scripture teaches us. So love is patient. Love is kind. Love speaks that truth, the great truth of the Word of God, with kindness, not with harshness. It's the absence of harshness. Well, if you just know the truth, I'll try to beat it in your head. That does not create growth. That's antithetical to the Christian message. It's as important how you say it as what you say. The truth must be spoken in love. You can speak the truth in anger. So you can literally push people away while you tell them the truth. That's not growth. That's not going to bring growth, right? And then you can literally not tell people the truth. And say, oh, honey, it's okay. You can have your sinful way. I am here to support you no matter what. Well, that's not love. It's the truth spoken in love. Listen, this is actually one of the hardest things in the world to do. You do realize that. This is one of the hardest things in the world to do. You need a tremendous amount of grace and maturity to be able to speak the truth in love. This is one of the most critical things for the church, is to be able to speak the truth, have truth speakers that speak the truth in love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy. Love does not envy. I've had several people throughout my ministry come to me and say, Jason, I envy you. Oh boy. My stomach just goes, and I'm like, oh no. That's really bad. Because that love does not envy. Why would you envy me? Everyone has their own individual callings from God. Everybody has their own individual giftings, right? And we're not all the same, and that's a blessing. We all have different roles to do. We're to be used by God in the gifting that we have. God doesn't give all the same gifts. The purpose of the gifts is that we all use them to the glory of God, and that's what edifies the body. Love does not envy. It doesn't envy anyone. It's covetousness. It doesn't want what someone else has, whether it's this, that, or the other thing. And in Christianity, a certain gift can tend to be looked more favorably upon than others, especially pastor-teacher, because they're upfront teaching. And so people have a tendency to envy or to put the pastor or the teacher on a pedestal. And that doesn't go well for anyone, for the person or for the parishioner, for the congregant. So love doesn't envy. Love doesn't do that. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. Love doesn't seek its own. And so when you're ministering, when you're speaking the truth in love, you're really seeking the good of another. You're not seeking yourself. You're not doing it for your own selfish self-aggrandizement. So if you are like, I just got to give him the truth, probably need to wait on that a little bit. Right? There's something else going on there. It's speaking the truth in love. Love does not boast. It doesn't think evil. It does good to another. Love believes all things, bears all things, hopes all things. Love never fails. And neither does truth. So it's this truth spoken in love. And it is speaking propositional words. Words that conform to sound doctrine. Words must be true words. Words must be based on facts. The word of truth must be based in evidence. You can't just make up words. I mean, throughout the whole history of the world, there's the true prophets and the false prophets, right? And the false prophets, as you go through the prophets, what was the problem with the false prophets? They always were preaching out of their own imagination. They were coming up with their own thoughts. And they were preaching their own thoughts. Think in the days of Ezekiel. They were thinking from their own thoughts. Oh, yeah. Or in Jeremiah. The judgment's not going to come. The Babylonians aren't going to come. And Jeremiah had to face off with what he was presenting as the true word of the Lord. Of all the other prophets who were saying, no, that's not true. And they persecuted Jeremiah. They put him in the dungeon, left him for dead. They had to break. God rescued him out of there. Right? It's hard to speak the truth. But the truth must be verified. It must conform to Scripture. It must conform to facts. It must be based in evidence. And the highest evidence is the Word of God. Then the evidence can be walked out in interpersonal relationships and in life. That too must be backed up and verified through evidence. But speaking the truth is a high calling. Again, truth is propositionally that which consistently communicates reality. Propositionally is with words. So that's the speaking. Because the speaking is what communicates the gospel. It's the speaking that communicates the reality of Christ with you. It's the speaking that communicates our identity in Christ. These are all done with words. Now, why do you think God chose to give Christian leadership to the church to facilitate this? This is an interesting question. One of the reasons is because Christ wants His church to personalize the truth. To take on the truth. To incarnate the truth. It's the same reason why God didn't save the world another way. Jesus Christ came full of what? Grace and truth. So Jesus Christ, He was the embodiment of truth in a person. And that's what God is really after. He's after the embodiment of grace and truth in a person, Christ. What's the purpose of Christian leadership? To bring the church to Christ. So Christian leadership is given to personalize the truth, and then to walk out that personalization of the truth in love, full of grace and truth. That's Christ. God's will for His church is that we as church are to personalize that truth, meaning make it our own. So that whole, this whole identity we've been talking about, I am no longer my own, I've been bought with a price. It's that, no, this Christ is in me, and I am His. I no longer live for myself. It is Christ that lives in me. In the life I live, I now live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So truly, this is who we become in Christ. So the whole purpose of leadership is to take this truth that they have had a personal experience with Jesus Christ, cause them to be born again, filled with His truth, and understand His love because they've been forgiven of their sins. And to go now and be sent by Jesus Christ Himself as an answer to the problem, which is false doctrine, which is all over the map, wind blowing, waves crashing, and to move towards that problem, towards those relationships, towards those people, and faithfully and consistently and lovingly point people back to the Scripture because they are loved. Speaking the truth in love. And you see what happens when the truth is spoken in love. This is God's plan to grow His church. It's explicit in the text. But speaking the truth in love may grow. Speaking the truth in love is what brings maturity. What brings maturity, Mr. Sear? What brings maturity, Mr. Bright? What brings maturity, Mr. Huddleston? What brings maturity? What is the hardest thing to do? Why is it so hard? Right? I mean, even in parenting, isn't it easier to get ticked off with your child or to overlook their offense? Right? But man, if I have to go get my son because he didn't listen to me again because he wants to go on his bike 100 miles an hour, my little guy, I have to go get him. Get over here. No, son, I have to speak the truth in love and show the truth in love. It's easier to just go to one ditch or the other ditch. To give him the truth, bam, no love. Or just say, turn a blind eye and call it love. Peacemaker, peace faker. It's very maturing to speak the truth in love. And when you mature, you grow. Speaking the truth in love is a catalyst that God gives His church to grow us up in Christ. Speaking the truth in love may grow up. So let's grow up. How do we grow up? We speak the truth in love. Now, the church is not merely an organized program. This is very important to understand this passage in relation to what the church is all about. The church can have organized programs to accomplish things. But the church is not merely an organized program. So my experience growing up with church in many respects, and through my formal education, going to many, many different churches, preacher boy programs, all of these things, and again, many good things came out of that. But it seemed to me like a lot of the function of the church was the bullseye was the gospel, the context was the program, and relationships were kind of outside of that. You understand what I'm saying? So we go there, you hear preaching. When the service is over, the program is done, people are gone, right? Until the next program. If there's no program, there's really no one another participation. Unless you want to stay late and talk to people, and some people could do that. So the relationships were there. But look at this. Look at the context of which truth speaking is to be a part of. And I want you to see this. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things. See that? It's in all things. That's a comprehensive term. In all things. So 100% truth, 100% love, it takes wisdom to discern that. A lot of humility and faith. Speaking the truth in love that you may grow up in all things. So if the church's experience is limited to mainly functioning in programs, what's being left out? All of the other pieces of life. You follow me? All the other aspects of life, all the other one anothering, all the other interrelated pieces of life are simply left out. They're not even being discussed. So that leaves about 90%, maybe 80%, 70%, depending on the context, right? It leaves a large majority where the truth is not personalized and walked out in all of life. All things are not subject to the truth and love of Christ. So what is needed is speaking the truth in love so that we may grow up in all things. That is, in all areas of life, sound doctrine, gospel-centered sound doctrine, can be walked out in every area of life. We call it all scripture for all life, for the glory of God. If you don't have the personalization of truth being walked out in all things to Christ, what takes its place? The problem. The wind and the waves and hypocrisy. So we see that we must bring about all things in Christ. That is, all of our relationships, so that we can grow up in all things unto Him and submit all things to Him, the truth and love unto Him who is the head. Who is the head? Jesus Christ. How do we connect all things to Him? How do we grow up speaking the truth in love? So that all things in our life are defined by submitting and connecting everything to Him, and the means by which we're given to grow up is speaking the truth in love. Gifts are given to encourage that in the church, that the church may be built up in all things. That is, that the truth can be personalized and walked out into every area of life and encourage the saints then in every place and everywhere they find themselves that they would grow up by believing the truth and receiving God's love in everything they say and in everything they do. In every thought they take, in every relationship that they have. Speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things. So we have this word, the Bible, the sufficiency of Scripture. Paul says, preach the word. So the word is to be preached. That's why we need the whole counsel of God. Because it's in the balance of Scripture that all things can be connected to Christ. That's why we need the whole counsel of God from Genesis to Revelation. Paul said in Acts 20, I didn't shun to declare to you the whole counsel of God. So Paul's ministry in Ephesus, recorded in Acts chapter 20, was about preaching the whole counsel of God. He says, I didn't shun from keeping back anything that was necessary to you. So it's the full counsel of God walked out in the full orbit of life that is incarnated, that is personalized in the life of people that will believe the truth and then walk that truth out as they love other people with the truth that God has given to them. Truth in the context of love is what grows the church. Let's look what this growth looks like. Verse 16. From whom the whole body. So we have Christian leadership, and of course, Paul and the apostles are a big part of that, aren't they? I mean, they kind of established that in these epistles here, right? So the apostles, they're a big part of that, and then that's carried on through local pastors and teachers throughout churches throughout the world. Take that sound doctrine, speak the truth in love, so that the congregation may grow up in all things unto him, who is the head. Jesus Christ is the head. Christ and Christ alone is the head of the church. And that looks like, verse 16, from whom the whole body, so this is where everybody connects. This is where everybody participates. Every man, woman, boy, and girl in the assembly, in the whole body, is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. So everybody in the whole church hears this speaking the truth in love, and the whole body, now he goes to the body analogy, the whole body is joined and knit together. So there, the truth in love brings people together. The truth in love knits hearts together. So our responsibility is to speak the truth in love. We have the responsibility then to pray that God would grant that we would be understanding, that the eyes of our hearts would be open, that we would be strengthened by the Holy Spirit in the inner man, because it's the Holy Spirit that takes the truth spoken in love and joins and knits hearts together in the whole body of Christ. That's why prayer and truth speaking in love are the key ingredients for church growth. Prayer and truth speaking are aspects of taking the sound doctrine of the gospel and walking it out in the assembly, walking out in the whole body of Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. So, what's a joint? Right, Wes knows his joints. Look at that guy. He's a great illustrator, right? By what every joint supplies. The joints in the body are where things touch. They're the intersection, right? So you have fingers, you have all these joints. And the joints are what allow for the movement. So we are, as the body of Christ, as we intersect in the joints, that is, in our relationships with one another, where we intersect in our loving one another, we have a growth that takes place where we intersect, where we touch one another, where the truth is spoken in love, the whole body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. What does every joint supply? The ability for movement. Right? What happens if you don't have cartilage? Does anybody here have a lack of cartilage or arthritis? Rob? Yeah. Rob's a great illustrator on this one now. What happens, how does it feel where you don't have that cartilage or that, ow, right? Pain. Eric, you've had knee problems, right? Do you have a lack of Yeah. So you have knee problem there. You have a lack of the cart. You try to move where every the joints are missing something. Ah! Right? And you can't grow. You can't move. So the joints supply the ability for us to interrelate. What supplies the ability for us to interrelate? The joints. What is that known as? Speaking the truth in love. Because what grows the church, what knits the church, what enables us to interrelate is the truth spoken in love. It's beautiful. That's what grows us up. That's what grows you up. That's what grows me up. Speaking the truth in love, according to what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. So each, this is where the truth spoken, and you have to the Christian leadership, the leadership then takes that to the congregation, and then the congregation, each member in the congregation has a role, has a responsibility to take that truth spoken in love. Look at the text there, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Every member has a responsibility to base, to hear, to respond to, and to live out, to personalize the truth, and to speak it in love. So every member does its share in speaking the truth in love, in living the truth in love. So we all have that opportunity, each with our own gifts and abilities. So people that have the gift of mercy are going to take the truth and speak it in love in one way. People that have the gift of prophecy are going to take the truth and speak it in love in another way. People that have the gift of administrations are going to take the truth and speak it in love in another way. We're not all going to do it the same. That's a good thing if the truth is in love and we're all connecting to Jesus, causing growth to the edifying of the body. Our problem is, we get back into the problem, and we lack the truth, and we substitute it for lies, and we lack the love, and we get full of ourselves, and we get selfish, and we envy, and we get bitter, we get deceived, and we go back to the problem, which is every wind and every wave, and we start to crash each other, right? And the wind blows, and the sheep start to scatter. And you all know from my experience with sheep, one of the most terrifying things for a sheep, other than a wolf or a coyote, is to watch another sheep run. And sheep will go nuts. I mean, they're a herd animal. When one sheep runs, what do they all want to do? They all just panic, right? What's the answer to that? Speaking the truth in love, so we can grow up in all things into Him who is the head, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, and that causes growth of the body. So that's each local church, each body, and the body of Christ, universal across the board, across the world. Right? And what is true in one is true in the other. So this is God's plan for church growth, that each part would do its working, and it's beautiful, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love, for the building up of the saints in love. And this is where each one, each member, each believer in the church has a responsibility to take the truth in love, and to build up one another, and edification and love. To edify is to build up. It's a construction term. Right? You build up. You build a building. You do this first, and this, and this. It takes wisdom. You don't put the roof on before you pour the foundation. So there's a wisdom in this. You take the foundation, and you build upon that. Just like a person's life. You see where they are. They're a new believer. They've been a believer for a while. What you say, what you don't say, and how you say it is very important. You speak the truth in love, and as that truth is spoken, it causes growth to the edifying of the whole body, edifying of itself in love. You know, when our bodies are in balance and everything is working properly, it creates a healthy feeling in us. It's kind of pretty cool, right? And how you doing? I'm doing good, right? There's a healthy feeling. The body's in balance. That's how God originally made us, right? We live in a fallen world and things get out of balance. And when our hormones are out of balance, or where this is out of, or if we have a hurt toe, if we have a broken leg, right? Man, I had a bad splinter in my foot and a piece of glass because I don't wear shoes a lot. I was starting to wear, I'm going to have to wear shoes if I keep doing this. It was a big thorn I couldn't get. I was waiting for the thorn to get better. I can hardly walk. I'm like limping around, right? And Lisa's, my wife's like, why don't you put some drying salve on that and get that splinter out? Like, I can't get the splinter out. I put the drying salve on. Of course, the next day it popped out. And oh, it was better. But just a little splinter. It's a little teeny splinter. Well, it wasn't that little, but it was little. You know, you're hopping around. You get that, our bodies notice those things when they're out of joint, don't they? God's design for His body is that we all would be in sync. And there's a great edifying that takes place in that. How do we do that? Focus Christ. The work of Christ. The person of Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. But that's not enough. Two aspects to participate in that which evidence your faith. And that is prayer. And we dealt with that last night. Praying that God would grant you an awareness of this truth. Opening the eyes of your heart so that you may see. Prayer and truth speaking. Speaking the truth in love that you may grow up. How then are you responding to the gifts that Christ gives to His church? Let's just start with the Apostle Paul. Right? Let's start with the Apostle Paul. I mean, look at the epistle we have. How would you get this without Paul? Right? So we value what the Apostle Paul has given us in the Word of God. I got someone commented to me recently about something I was teaching on John 3:16, and they said, and I put John 3:16 in the context of John 3, and they, oh, that was what John said. I want to know what Jesus says. So here's what Jesus teaches, but I put it the theology of John in John 3. He's like, that's not what I need to know. I want to know what Jesus said. So we're elevating. That's a slippery slope of false doctrine. This is what Jesus said, but we can't read John chapter 3 to get what Jesus meant by that. We can't go to Paul to see what Jesus meant by that. That's a slippery slope. We can't go to the Bible and see what Jesus meant by that. So, let's start with the apostles. Let's put it in sound doctrine. And let's then personalize that. I believe this. I believe this gospel. And then let's move towards others and love one another with that. How are you responding to Christ's gift given in His church? How are you responding to those who have personalized the truth of the gospel and are seeking to apply it to life? How about if they seek to apply it in your life? That is the goal of preaching. Speaking the truth in love. Powerful stuff. Not if you speak the truth without love, not going to work. If you try to have love without truth, not going to work. In Romans chapter 12, it's a very important passage on spiritual gifts, isn't it? Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it's a very important passage. And then Paul goes on spiritual gifts in verses 3 to 8. Of Romans 12. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt each one a measure of faith. So we hear here, the measure of Christ's gift, the measure of faith. So there's some parallels between Romans 12 and Ephesians chapter 4. Then he breaks out the different gifts. And then verse 9 says this, let love be without hypocrisy. So the context that makes spiritual gifts work is love. The great threat to making spiritual gifts work in the church is hypocrisy. It's playing around. It's not really being forthright and honest with the truth, or not really being sincere in your love. That goes back to that picture of up and down. That's just all over the place. The waves are crashing, right? And let love be without hypocrisy. Take the mask off. What does that do? It exposes who you are. Who are we really? We're pretty bad sinners with false motives and false ambitions, right? That's what's the answer to that? Christ crucified. Our identity is not in ourselves. It's Jesus Christ. That's where faith gives us the victory over sin and the flesh and the devil, so that we can grow up by speaking the truth in love, identifying these hypocrisies that the Christian church has always been in trouble with. Beware of that hypocrisy, so that we can actually make progress in personalizing the truth, that is, in our own hearts and minds and soul, and loving others with it. We have a lot of examples how the Pharisees didn't do that, right? They were all, we're going to tell the truth, you know, stone this woman. They would take an aspect of truth, doctrine, and they'd obliterate the context, and they'd use it to judge. Nothing new under the sun, right? That's hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy. And that's why we spend time in prayer. That's why we spend time in confession of sins. That's why we must spend time alone before God and allow the Lord to work in us, and then take that out into the context of relationships and model and be open to the truth spoken in love as we walk this out before Him. Let love be without hypocrisy. Cling to what is evil. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Again, you can look that up later. It's a good cross-reference to this. Romans chapter 12. You can read the whole chapter. I think you got the point here in Ephesians chapter 4. And I trust as we go through this, you're following the flow of thought as we go from this identity in Christ, chapters 1 to 3. The hinge point is what? Humility. Walk out this calling and all lowliness and gentleness with long-suffering, bearing in love with one another. So that's coming into alignment with God. Because of this calling, I humble myself. What does God do to facilitate growth and unity? He gives gifts. That's all about coming into the person of Christ and growing in the grace of God. What is the means by which that happens? Speaking the truth in love. And that is the test for the humility. Will I come into agreement with God? Will I humble myself of my high opinion of myself, which we are all born having, a self-orientation, will I humble myself and walk worthy of the calling, my new identity in Christ, and walk this out in the church as the truth is spoken in love to me? The work of the Holy Spirit, strengthening the inner man, a way in which we can humble ourselves and walk this out, causes growth in the whole body. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to be part of a church, as I am part of a church with you guys. And we get to walk this out, and I get to see you grow, and you get to see me struggle, and you show grace to me, and I show grace to you, and we share truth with each other, and you say, Jason, have you ever thought about this truth? And I say, have you ever considered how this could help you? And sometimes we overlook because it's not the right time. And all this is wisdom that we grow up and we're learning to take the log out of our eyes as we whack people with a log that's in our eye and we hurt them and then we have to confess that. It's beautiful! That's as we go through this and we deepen our commitment to love in Christ, that we actually deepen Christ in us. And the edifying that comes through the body of Christ is amazing. The community, the intimacy, the transparency, the honesty. How do we get that process? That is the rest of this chapter. The rest of this chapter, Paul is going to give us the process how we do this. How we actually can walk this out. This is the big picture here, speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up. Paul says, okay, I want you to see this, because he's going to take us now step by step through the rest of chapter 4 and what this means to put off, have your mind renewed, and put on the truth. Stop lying to each other. Give no place to the devil. Stop being angry. He deals with all these things. So I would encourage you to read the rest of the chapter. And Lord willing, next Sunday, we will go and pick it up again in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Until then, I would ask that you be in prayer. I would ask that you be in prayer that God would grant you knowledge and faith, the strengthening of your inner man, to place your identity and your focus in Christ. I'd ask you to be in prayer that you would receive the truth spoken in love. And that whatever truth and love God is dealing you with, that you would take that in. And that you would ask God to grow you. That you would be one who speaks the truth in love. That you would learn when to say, what to say, when not to say. So that we all could be part of that edifying of one another in the spirit of the gospel, in the spirit of Christ, in the spirit of love. That's why we're in the church. That's what grows the church. You notice there's nothing about other strategies, is there? Not saying that you can't do them. Well, maybe some of them, but that's not the point. The point is this is the focus of church growth. This. Like if we can get this done and we keep growing here, right? We're going to keep growing. If we miss this stuff and we get it sidetracked and into other stuff, then not going to go too well. So let's be committed to Christ, to prayer, to the gospel, and taking that gospel and speaking the truth in love so that we can grow up in all things, in Jesus' name. Amen.